Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So good to see you all this morning on this wonderful rainy Sunday morning. Isn't that wonderful? We have needed the rain. We've been praying for the rain, and we just thank God that we are getting some nice showers out there this morning. A few announcements as we begin. If you have your bulletin, just look on the back there. Also, a little insert in there as well. Just a reminder about the Youth Fall Festival that's coming up September 30th, Saturday here. We've got some more specifics there for you about what time it will be happening from. Also, note there the time the food will be available. Food will be available in the fellowship hall, hamburgers and hot dogs, and as well as homemade fries, cakes and cookies and other sorts of things. Also, notice there that homemade apple butter will be available for purchase for $7 a pint. There'll be some there for sale. The kids will also be making some apple butter that will be for sale as well. So we look forward to that. Just a great day here with the children, and I hope that you can come out, put that on your calendars to come and support the Moscow Children's Ministry program here, as all proceeds will go to support that. Also, just note there about baptism and membership. Maybe you've been considering being baptized or being a member here at Moscow. Just talk to me about that. It's going to be October 15th, classes 15th, 22nd, and 29th. The baptism day and receiving of members will be here on October 29th. If you want to transfer your membership, move your membership, or become a member, just please talk to me and we can make sure that all those arrangements are taken care of. Also, just a note here that the NRMA youth event was scheduled for today from 1 to 4:30. Unfortunately, it has been canceled because of the rain, and so other churches are making that announcement as well. You know, if there was one reason for this to be canceled that allows the blow to be a little less, it's rain. And so we're glad that we're getting the rain, and we'll just have to think of another date when we can do the Gypsy Hill pizza party as well as the hike through the Blue Ridge Tunnel. And I'll tell you the truth, I was looking forward to that today. I haven't had a chance to walk through that tunnel yet, and I would like to do that as a historic kind of thing. Okay, also just a note about the CBC Fellowship event. That is this Saturday. Van will be leaving here at 1 o'clock p.m., and anyone that would like to go is welcome to come. There is a meal that's being provided at no cost for those that are coming. It's going to be hand-dipped ice cream being served there, a bounce house for the kids, loud music, and, of course, some people from National will be there as well, Grover Dooling on hand, and Scott Kinnick will be there. He serves as on the church planting committee for CBC. And so it's going to be a great day just hearing about what's going on in CBC as well as just getting to meet and greet some of your brothers and sisters in Christ in the area churches that are part of CBC. So I hope that we can get a group to go. I've had one person say they want to go. And so it sure would be nice if we had some others. I know I'll be there for sure. And so you don't even have to drive. We're going to take a van. If we can get enough people to justify it, we'll take a van.
We don't even have to justify it.
Kenny's going to take it regardless, he says. So, yeah, please see me after service or Kenny. You can catch him. And if you have more questions about it, you know, please let me know. Two other little announcements I'll just share with you. Revival services will begin this evening, fall revival at New Life Church, Covenant Brethren Church there in Mount Solon. If you've seen the little sign there, it's the old Methodist church in the square of Mount Solon, but they have New Life is meeting there now, and fall revival will begin this evening. It goes Monday and Tuesday as well at 7 p.m. This evening there will be a meal served at 6 o'clock p.m., Jonathan Farmer from Elk Run is the speaker of the revival. Also, I got a letter or a note here about a get-together for ladies' inspirational fellowship time. It's called Lift. And they're going to be meeting at the Sangersville Towers Ruleton Building Saturday, November the 4th, from 9 to 2. That's $15 to be a part of that. That includes breakfast and lunch. And so I'll be sure to post that out there on the bulletin board. And if, ladies, you are interested in going to that, you can get the information from that. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share, Nancy?
The proceeds I had reported was $212,941. And this is a little bit less than last year, but they said that the expenses had increased some this year, too. So I'm not sure. And I don't have the individual categories. I talked with the lady that did the baked goods, and she said their proceeds were were higher this year than they had been other years. So if anybody's interested in what the individual categories brought, let me know, and I will try to find that out. If I can find that out anyway, I'll get Lee put in the bulletin so we know what livestock involved and the other things did too. So. But thank you very much for your help and support of the auction. I know it was appreciated.
Thank you, Nancy. And maybe the apple dumplings had something to do with the bake.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah. The apple dumplings. I don't know. Maybe we'd done that here in the past. I don't remember. But this year we helped with making apple dumplings for the disaster auction. And so we just praise the Lord that all those funds were raised. And now we know that it will go to help many, many people in need. And so thank you, Nancy, for reporting that back. I appreciate that. Any other announcements that you'd like to share? Kenny.
A big thank you to everybody who's reached out with help with the apple butter, well, the applesauce, and the jars. We are good to go on both applesauce and jars. There's a few other things that we're coming up a little shy on right now. So if you have any questions or any donations, the sign-up sheet's still on the board. We're also taking monetary donations to help with the purchase of the applesauce. So thank y'all. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Kenny. Again, yeah, on the kitchen door, you can see there's a sign-up sheet there for different things that are still needed. And if you can donate or help in any way, please do, and thank you. Anyone else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you this morning that we are in your house of worship. We've come, Lord, to praise you and praise your Son, Jesus. We glorify him. Lord, he is the only name that saves us from our sin. Lord, he is the only name that gives us eternal life, a promised future, a hope of eternity there with you in heaven. Lord, we just come glorifying the one who has set us free and, Lord, made us sons and daughters of God. Lord, we just praise you here this morning. Bless us, I pray, in this time of fellowship and worship. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Stand together for this morning's call to worship. Find this in the inside of your bulletin, coming from portions of Philippians chapter 4. The scriptures say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's turn in our hymnals, page 433, Sweet Hour Prayer, page 433. Just a couple minutes to gather up our prayer requests and our praises here this morning. If you would, we had this person on our prayer list last week. We want to continue to lift up in our prayers Donnie Lambert. That is Joanne's brother. And Donnie's not doing well. He's in the hospital. And so we just asked, the family asked, Joanne asked for your prayers for Donnie, that God's hand will continue to be upon him, that God will bring him comfort in this time. And so we just ask for you to continue to lift up Donnie Lambert in your prayers, as well as Joanne and the family. That's Joanne's little brother. And so we know that our hearts go out to him during this time. And so we just continue to lift him up in prayer. Joanne, is there anything you want to share? Yeah. Joanne, maybe too, if we can get an address for him, maybe we can send cards as well. Yeah, maybe we can get that and post it on the bulletin out there, his home address, so we can send cards from Moscow. Yeah. But we'll get it posted out there. I know, Joanne, you can get it pinned up there for us, and then we can send him some cards and just let him know that Moscow's praying for him. We know God's walking with him through this time, and we just continue to lift him up in prayer. So, also, I want you to continue to pray for Frances Michael. Donald gave me just a little bit of update here this morning that she's doing much better, a little better. Not, I should say much, but a little. And she's getting better, and so we praise the Lord for that. She's been up walking a little bit, and Donald even shared this morning that she was up walking with just a cane. Walker or cane this morning? Walker, okay. And so she's at Bridgewater Home. She's getting therapy there, and her spirits are high. And so we just praise the Lord for that, and just pray for her quick recovery and that she can get home quickly as well. I know that she wants to be home. But we just praise the Lord for the healing that's done there, that medicine went to work and healed the infection there on her leg. And so we just praise the Lord for that. Also, just a praise yesterday for, we had a successful day of, we called it a trial run of making apple butter. Before we went and instructed the children on how to make apple butter, we ourselves needed to learn. And so we had a successful day there at Kenny's. I want to thank Kenny and Sherry for hosting that. And we look forward, I think we're prepared now, aren't we, Kenny, on to instruct the children on how to make it. We think.
Titus, you're going to be there. Yeah, we're ready.
Titus was there as well. And last night I told a couple people this morning that last night when I went to bed, I still felt like I was going like this, stirring that kettle of apple butter. It took about 10 hours to boil that down. And it's a lot of work. So,
but it was fun.
It was fun. It was. We had a great time. Again, Kenny, thanks so much for hosting that. And all those that are working for this, put together the Fall Festival. It takes a lot of work. And I just appreciate all the volunteers and people that help with the children. It makes a big difference when you got a group around you. You know, it makes a difference when you're not stirring that pot by yourself.
Absolutely.
That kettle by yourself. When you got others around you helping to stir the kettle, that makes a big difference. And isn't that the way it is in the church? We're just like a big kettle, aren't we? And we need help in stirring, getting the work done in the church. And when we're all working together, it makes the load easier on all of us. And it makes it more enjoyable, too. So there's a lot of life lessons right there in stirring that that pot. And so we appreciate that. And we look forward to the children then getting their hands on that same kettle and stir and working at it as they will here on the 30th. So we just praise the Lord for that. Everett. Jerry Johnson. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Jerry Johnson, Everett shared, and he went to church here a long time ago, but is needing your prayers for healing. Also, continue to lift my dad, Dane, up in your prayers. Please continue to pray for him. He has seen some improvement, so we praise the Lord for that. Seemed like this week his color came back and his appetite came back and even his voice got a little stronger. It'd been so frail sounding for a while, but his voice came back some. And so we just praise the Lord for that. We know God is answering prayers there, and ask for your continued prayer though for him. And again, just another praise for the rain we're getting. We just pray that we continue to get that moisture in our area. We were getting into almost severe drought kind of elevation, and so we want to continue to pray for that. Other prayer requests or praises, Pauline?
Ricky Shaw, I've been to prayer with him several Sundays.
Okay.
He is worse.
Okay.
And he's at Augusta Medical Rehab.
Okay. AMC. Okay. Ricky Shaw, if you would, continue to put that name on your prayer list and pray for his healing as he is in the rehab. Other prayer requests or praises? Marsha?
Kurt and Cherish Humphrey from Kirksville. They lost their only child by mild phone, so keep them in your prayers.
Say that name again, Marsha.
Kirk and Cherish Humphreys.
Kirk and Cherish Humphreys. Humphreys, and they lost their only child last night in an auto accident. Certainly, just be lifting them up in prayer. A tragedy. Anyone else? Titus?
Nancy Harlow's got surgery.
That's right. That's exactly right. Nancy will get a knee replacement this week, and tomorrow, Monday. So we want to lift her up in prayers and just pray God's anointing upon her and the doctors and nurses as she goes and gets that that surgery. Know that things are going to go good and you recover fast. Anyone else? With that, call forth our ushers now to collect our tithes and offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, even, Lord, with just a confession, Lord, that when it comes to prayer, Lord, we fall short. Lord, those moments when we should be coming to you in prayer, Lord, we don't. Lord, we confess that, Lord, we should pray more. We should worry less. That, Lord, we should turn more worries into prayers. And, Lord, we know that you would heal our burden even through this. Lord, we confess that our prayer life oftentimes falls short. But, Lord, we come before you now, even in this moment, asking that you forgive us of our shortcomings. And, Lord, that you encourage us, specifically in our prayer life, that we would pray those things, Lord, that you desire. Lord, that we would speak those words, Lord, that you long to hear. And Lord, that we would free you to answer those prayers, Lord, that you desire to answer. Lord, your scripture tells us that we have not because we ask not. Lord, we ask this morning, specifically for those upon our prayer list this morning, we just pray your will might be done. Lord, that's what we want, because your will is perfect and your ways are good. And so, Lord, we lift up those upon our prayer list, Lord, those that are dealing with end of life. Lord, we pray for those that are dealing with serious conditions and sickness. Lord, we lift up those that are going into surgery. Lord, we lift up those whom have lost their only son. Lord, we know that in each of these situations that you are watching over, and Lord, you're providing that care and comfort and that healing touch only where you can. Lord, that's what we pray this morning. We just pray that your will would be done. Lord, that our prayers might be heard and answered, even because of this time spent here in prayer. Lord, we know and we are continually reminded, and you assure us that our prayers are answered. And so, Lord, we experience that. We see that. And Lord, we trust in you. Lord, we pray for our offering this morning as we bring these things, this tithes and offerings forward to you. Lord, we lay them before you on your altar. We pray that these things, Lord, they bless you. And Lord, we pray a blessing upon those who give here this morning. Lord, we pray you continue to be with us here this morning, speaking to our hearts through your word, through this time of prayer, through song. Lord, that you continue to draw us close to you as you desire. Lord, we just praise you again. We praise your Son Jesus and all these things. We pray together. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're so blessed here at times to have special music. And I was delighted this week when Gene shared with me that we were going to have special music on this Sunday. And I thought, wow, that is wonderful. Although I didn't know who the special music was till this morning. And Leon was leaving a class there and shared with us that he was going to be the special music this morning. So we're delighted to have him come then to share with us in song. Thank you, Leon. We look forward to hearing you.
I want to start first by having a disclaimer. My apologies to the soloists in the church here, Everett and Susie. I'm not one of them. They are in a class by themselves. I got invited to participate in singing because a couple of Christmases ago, when we were practicing for our Christmas concert, we were using some new songs which Jean had come up with, and I made the comment to her that I think I'd probably sound better if I actually knew the words and the tune. And of course she said, well, you know, I'm not busy next week. How does 12:30 on Thursday sound? So that started what's turned out to be a weekly a time of her listening and me singing. So.
But I'm still alive.
Do what?
I'm still alive.
Yeah. She's even started turning her hearing aid on when I sing, so that I think is success. But her requirement is, she doesn't charge for lessons, but her requirement is you got to sing a solo. And I would much rather have paid, you know, her for lessons. we have selected a song that I'd like to sing, I'll do my best. The mountain, who made the tree, who made the river flow to the sea, and who hung the moon in the starry sky? somebody bigger than you and I, who makes the flowers bloom in the spring, who makes the song for the robin to sing, and who sends the rain when the earth is dry. Somebody bigger than you and I. He lights the way when the road is long, keeps you company with love to guide you. He walks beside you just like he walks with me. When I am weary, filled with despair, who gives me courage to go on from there? And who gives me faith that will never die? Somebody bigger than you and I.
Thank you, Leon. Thank you, Leon. Those lessons are paying off. You sounded great.
Well, since they're free.
Since they're free. Thank you, Gene. And
it's all due to Gene.
We look forward to more special music from you, Leon. That was wonderful. Yeah. And what a beautiful song. So that is great. Isn't it nice just to have special music like that? And it's just it uplifts us all, doesn't it, to hear that this morning. And so, again, thank you, Leon. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. Our youth Sunday school can be dismissed. I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Mark, book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. I hope none of you are getting to the point of saying, when is this series of sermons going to end about what did Jesus say? Because we're continuing on through that. I've enjoyed it just to look at the words of Jesus. I think I said, even as we began this, maybe it would be a neat thing to just go through your Bible and start to read only the red letters. See what Jesus said. And he had a lot to say. There's a lot of red letters in your New Testament through the Gospels. And he had a lot to say about many different topics. And that's what we've been doing. We've kind of been skipping around topic to topic, looking at what Jesus had to say about that particular thing. And this Sunday, of course, we're kind of moving towards prayer, if you hadn't noticed. All our hymns and our call to worship focusing on prayer this morning. And so we really want to see what Jesus has to say about prayer. And Jesus has a lot to say about prayer. Prayer. He even gives us the model prayer, doesn't he? As the disciples were prompted to ask the question, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Lord, can't you imagine they were driven to that point of saying, Lord, teach us how to pray, because Jesus was saying a lot about prayer. He was teaching a lot about prayer. And so I think they were just prompted to say, hey, just teach us, what is the perfect prayer? What is the model prayer? And so he shares that model prayer with him. But he has a lot to say. We're going to kind of skip around. You might hold your finger in Mark 11 because we're going to move around and really see exactly some other scriptures that Jesus shared about prayer. But we're going to start here in Mark 11, 24 through 26. So if you see there, it says, Jesus says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe, and you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone. Forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. You know, I heard a preacher once say that when it comes to prayer, you don't have a need that prayer won't resolve. There's no need in your life that you can have. There's nothing that you would be in need of that prayer, if you would come to the Lord in prayer, couldn't resolve it. Now notice I use the word resolve there because that's not necessarily that every prayer you pray, you're going to get what you want or what you think you need. There's times I've thought I've needed certain things and I've prayed for it and I'm glad now that God didn't answer that prayer at that moment. I thought I needed it. I thought that was the answer to my problem, but I realized then later on looking back, that wasn't the right prayer. I wasn't praying for the right thing, but God showed me. So I use the word resolve there, and I think it's important. You don't have a need that prayer won't resolve. There is no temptation or sin that prayer won't resolve. And then there is nothing really outside of the realm of prayer. Prayer is a powerful tool, isn't it? In the faith and in the life of the Christian believer. By prayer, we can heal the sick, can't we? Well, God can heal the sick through prayer. By prayer, nations really can rise and fall. We see that through the Old Testament, don't we? Where God was answering the prayers of Israel, and nations would rise and fall due to prayer. I think today as well, nations rise and fall by prayer. By prayer, we can receive wisdom, maybe like Solomon there in the Old Testament. By prayer, we can save. We can see Jesus save lost sinners. I have said that I am the result of prayer, that I had godly influences and people around me that were praying that I would receive Jesus and get to know and understand His love as I needed to. So there's a lot of things that we can accomplish through prayer, isn't it? There's a lot of things that we can receive. Prayer is a powerful thing. You know, the most pitiful thing, I think, in the world is not a prayer that goes unanswered. That's not the most pitiful thing. I think the most pitiful thing when it comes to prayer is not the unanswered prayer, but the unasked prayer. And that's where many of us fall, don't we? The unasked prayer. As I shared that scripture verse earlier, from James chapter 4, that you have not because you what? You ask not. Isn't that something? The Lord says, you know, there's a lot of things that I want to give to you. There's a lot of ways in which I want to bless you, God is saying. There's a lot of prayers that I want to answer, but the problem is you just won't ask for them. You just won't ask. You won't come to me in prayer and ask for those things that I would give them to you. We kind of bind the hands of God, don't we, when we do not ask for those things in which we need. It is the most pitiful thing. And that is what Paul was saying there. The most pitiful thing is not unanswered prayers, but unasked prayers. You know, the Bible says we're to be quick to prayer and slow to anger. And how many of us are quick to anger and slow to prayer? It's true, isn't it? The very thing the Bible says we're to be, we tend to be the opposite here. We're supposed to be quick to prayer, slow to anger, and yet we are often slow to anger, or slow to prayer rather, and quick to anger. For many of us, prayer is not our first action, but kind of a last thought, isn't it? or last resort even. Well, I've exhausted everything else. Maybe I better go to the Lord in prayer, is kind of the thinking. When really, shouldn't we have been saying, I should go to the Lord first and ask for God's blessing in this, and then as we'll work out and exhaust every other option. But prayer should be first. We should be going to the Lord first. You know, it's interesting that in the New Testament, that when Jesus looked at the temple, he called it my Father's house of prayer. And that place where God resided in the temple was to be known as the house of prayer. Do you know where God resides today? It's not in a temple in Jerusalem. He resides right inside of you. And wouldn't you think that he's calling your temple also a temple of prayer? It should be, shouldn't it? We should be temples of prayer. And that should set us apart from the non-believing, that we are a praying people. Boy, it's a shame, I think, that some non-believers probably pray more than believers. I've seen non-believers say, God help me, or go to the Lord in prayer. And boy, they shouldn't be praying more than a believer. We need to be a praying people, and we should be identified even through our prayer. Satan can't keep God from answering our prayers. He can't. But he can keep us from asking them. And I think that is actively what Satan is doing. He's not necessarily working against God answering your prayers, but he is working against you and from asking them altogether. So what did Jesus say about prayer? Well, I want you to notice here that in verse 25, there's a posture for prayer. Notice here it says, and whenever you stand praying. Isn't that interesting that it uses the word stand there? So what is the right posture for prayer that you think Jesus is prescribing to us? Some people would say, well, the right posture for prayer is kneeling. And that when you pray, you need to be kneeling. Not standing, but kneeling. Of course, that would contradict what's being said here. It said when you stand and pray. But you see Jesus in all sorts of different postures when he is praying. At times he's sitting. Remember when the little children came to Jesus? He blessed them. There he's sitting and he's praying. If you think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, at times he is kneeling in prayer. If you look in the, I think it's the Gospel of John, it actually at one point says that Jesus is out prostrate. That means he is bowed down. Kind of think of maybe the Middle Eastern style of prayer. He's literally his head laying flat on the ground and kind of laying out prostrate like that. And so we see there's all different sorts of ways in which we pray. Standing, sitting, Jesus did the same thing. I don't think there's necessarily the perfect posture. I heard this little poem. It's kind of a cute thing. I hope that I can communicate it to you right. But I read this and it's called The Prayer of Cyrus Brown. It says, the proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lamuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon one's knees. No, I should say that way to pray, said Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and rept and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Slow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing towards the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Well, here comes Cyrus Brown. Last year, I fell in Hodgkin's Well. "Head first," said Cyrus Brown, "with both my heels a sticking up and my head a pointing down." And I made a prayer right then and there, best prayer I ever said, for the prayingest prayer I ever prayed, I standing on my head. What's the right posture for prayer? Listen, it's not necessarily a posture of the body, but it's a posture of the heart. And every time Jesus speaks about prayer in the Scriptures, He's pointing to that our hearts need to be right with God. They need to be right, even here, as we'll see. God's talking about your heart right with your brother. If there's any sin that you have against your brother, you need to go and ask that that sin be forgiven you. Because how can you come to prayer to God when your heart is not right? You see what I'm saying? Some people make a big deal about how I'm praying. Do I need to be on my knees? Do I need to be standing with upright head looking towards heaven? God, Jesus would pray at times looking up into heaven. Do we need to be bowed down like Middle Eastern prayer and prostrate with our head as low to the ground as we can possibly make it? What is the right posture for prayer? It is the heart that is right with God. You can do all these other things and it's not going to make a bit of difference about God receiving your prayer if you are not right with your in the right posture of heart with God. And so we see here, starting here at Mark 11:24, kind of the right posture of the heart. What does it look like? Well, first, I want you to see that it is a heart of faith. And notice there in verse 23, it says, "Surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart," notice there, the word is heart. Doesn't say anything about your knees or looking up or the posture of your body, but the posture of your heart. "But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." That is a heart of faith, isn't it? A heart of faith. That's what God wants you to have. God wants you to have a heart when you come to Him in prayer that says, "What I am praying, I believe you, God, can answer it. I have faith. I have faith that what I am praying, that yes, you are able to, if I would say to this mountain that it might be removed and cast into the sea, that if it would be the will of God, He would do it." Notice there, it has to be the will of God, right? Is it the will of God that the mountain be cast into the sea? Well, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it says that the mountain should be cast into the sea. But you see what I'm saying? God wants us to have the heart of faith when it comes to prayer. We need to come into prayer believing, not doubting, but believing that God can do what He says. Praying in faith means I believe God can. But not only that, it's believing not only that God can, but that God will. A lot of times, we'll pray the prayer of faith that God can, but we never move into that amount of faith that it takes to say that God will. Boy, that's something more, isn't it? Sometimes it's even easy for us to say in faith, God can. We know God can do all things, can't we? That's pretty, really think about it, that's mustard seed size faith. This small faith. God can. God created everything. God created all things. God created the heavens and the earth, the universes with its billions and billions and billions of stars. And then I don't know that I would doubt if I think that God can do something. But where I do doubt is my faith that says that God will do something. That's the difference. I heard a preacher say one time, "I believe God can heal my leg if it was cut off. The problem is, I don't believe He will." And I think it's just a good example there. It takes great amount of faith. Not only believe that God can, but that God will. And so notice here, verse 23, verse 24, the posture of the heart should be a believing heart, a heart of faith. And notice there, I've already alluded to this, verse 25, 26, it should be a heart of forgiveness, one that's in right standing with God. Let me ask you, are you in right standing with everyone in your life? Have you offered or asked for forgiveness for those whom you've wronged? Do you have those that hold grudges against you? Have you come to them and asked for forgiveness? For your own well-being, for your own prayer life is what the Bible is saying. For your own prayer life, if you expect God to hear your prayer, you have to come forward with a heart of complete and total forgiveness of others. How can we ask God to forgive us of our many sins if we can't forgive others around us of their few? God wants the posture of the heart to be one that is in right standing, not only with Him, but with others around them. God makes this clear throughout the Scriptures that we are to be at peace with others, even as He is at peace with us. If you have people in your life that you have offended or that have grudges, encourage you, get your heart in the right place. Because guess what? There might be coming a time when you need a prayer answered. For you. And you want to make sure that God can hear your prayer because your heart is in the right posture. We want to have a heart of forgiveness. Now turn to John 15:7. I told you we're going to be moving around here a little bit. John 15:7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Notice there, abiding. You shall have a heart that is abiding in the will of God. Some people take this scripture right here and they say, okay, whatever I want, all I need to do is ask for it in prayer. Now, what do I want? What is it that I would like to have? What is it? Maybe I need something new for my garage. Maybe I need something new that I can go have fun on the weekends with. Maybe I need something big for my bank account. And we can kind of go through the list of what all our wants are. But notice there, the word is abide. That you can have whatever you want, but you've got to be abiding in me. What's it mean to abide? It means to agree, doesn't it? That means that you can pray whatever you want, that you desire, and God will answer that prayer. He's guaranteed it there. But those things must be prayed in abiding in Christ. That means that I'm not praying those things selfishly for myself. That's not abiding, is it? That's just me thinking of me. Discipleship is denying self. Denying self. He's preaching, he's talking to the disciples here. If a disciple is to ask whatever he desires, then he first must be, to even be considered a disciple, denying himself. I've shared this before. I've seen a woman one time write out a check to herself for $1 million. Reading this very verse, wrote a check out to herself and said, I'm going to cash this check in a short period of time. She had all the faith. She believed. I believe she had faith. She was a woman of strong faith. Maybe a little kooky faith at times, but she had a strong faith. But it was a misguided faith. She wasn't abiding, was she? She wanted that check for herself. Guess what? She never did cash that check. Probably still laying around somewhere. If you want to ask whatever you wish, notice here, you ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. Notice that desire must be as abiding in Christ. It's not a selfish prayer. A heart that is abiding in Christ. That is, that our heart is seeking the same things that Christ is seeking. We're desiring the same goals and accomplishments and achievements that Christ is wanting. It's not our goals, it's His goals. And I think when it comes to ministry, and you're doing those things for the glory of God, and you really have a need, and you come to this scripture and you say, God, this is what I need. It's for your purpose, for your will. I believe 100% He will give you what you ask for. But it's not for self. It's for service. And that's two different things. Okay. We cleared that up. Number four, a heart of humility. Turn to Luke 18. Turn back. Luke chapter 18. Notice these are all the words of Jesus here. We're staying in the Gospels. Luke 18, 11, starting there at verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all my possessions. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Notice here, God is wanting a heart of humility, not a heart of pride. Pride is something that Satan had. And that was his fault. He was prideful. He wanted to be even like God. And so his heart was filled with pride. Here, notice, Jesus is calling his Christians to a heart of humility. Humbling ourselves. Even like our Savior who humbled himself even to the death upon the cross. Next, Matthew 6:6, heart of modesty. I think this kind of piggybacks off of humility, but a little different. Mark 6:6. Well, that ain't it, is it? Oh, Matthew 6:6. Sorry. My bad. Matthew 6:6. It says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, that you be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. And so here's this giving. The scripture I was thinking of, though, there is that going into your prayer closet and praying, not to be seen of others, I think is the scripture I was looking for. I don't know. It's probably there close. But, our prayer life is not a show. It's not to be showy. We don't pray just for others to see us and praise us. That look how religious that person is. They pray even while others don't. Okay, Matthew 18. There's only a couple more here and then we'll finish. Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done of them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Look at that. It's a heart of unity and partnership. Isn't it great we come together and we pray together? We agree together on what we're praying. That's the sort of posture that God wants in your life when you come to God. He wants you to be in agreement with other believers. And in partnership with other believers. Okay, last one, Luke 18. We'll finish here. We're out of time. Luke 18, 1 through 5. This to me is kind of the pinnacle scripture of prayer. Luke 18, 1 through 5. He spoke this in a parable. Jesus said, in this parable, he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me and for my adversary, or for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." And then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect and cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" There's another one as well, along the same regards of that. Remember, the man at midnight comes asking, knocking on the door for a loaf of bread. He says, "Some people have come and visited me, and I need a loaf of bread." The guy says, "Go away. I'm in the bed. The animals are tucked in. The children are tucked in. Go away. I can't get up and get downstairs to give you a loaf of bread." And the guy keeps knocking, and he keeps knocking. And finally, being aggravated, kind of like what this story is saying, because of persistence, the guy gets out of bed, he comes down, gives the man a loaf of bread, to which he thanks him. It's a heart of persistence, isn't it? God wants you to be persistent. Don't just give up. You pray one time and that's it. Continue to pray. Have the posture of heart that you are persistent. You believe in faith that God will answer, and be persistent in that prayer, in seeking Him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this lesson, Lord, that we find throughout Your Gospels on Your teaching. I just pray that we might all continue to go back to our Bibles and search and see exactly those places in the Bible where, Lord, You're teaching us how to position and place our heart, have our hearts in the right place, that when we come to You in prayer, Lord, that, Lord, You will hear our prayer, answer our prayer, because we are asking those things, Lord, that You want to hear and, Lord, that You want to answer. Lord, have us to be a praying people. We pray this together right now. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Okay, I think we'll just sing one verse here of our hymn, page 429, "Listen to Your Children Praying." Believe it or not, we were going to sing this hymn at our picnic, and me and Isaac were going to play and sing it, but we didn't get around to it. Ran into the same trouble. I ran out of time. So we'll just sing this through one time here, verse 429, scripture four, or hymn 429, "Lord, listen to Your children praying." Let's stand together and sing. In prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we go forth from this place, Lord, be with us this week, I pray. Hear our prayer, Lord, because we pray it with the right heart. And Lord, bless us as Your people. Watch over us till we meet again. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.